Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Have you ever been sick in a foreign country? One night, I woke up sweating and feverish with a terrible pain in my lower back. Instinctively, I knew something was very, very wrong. I was delirious. Have you ever had the feeling like, this is not going to be good? I called out to Magalete, my homestay mom. She came in my room and quickly assessed me. She began chanting, Pelangi puke de vulawi ulu, Pelangi puke de vulawi ulu, which means the white person is sick, the devil's in your stomach. Now, while I didn't think the devil was in my stomach, I didn't know what was wrong, so they took me to the hospital. They ushered me into a little examination room, and one of the girls handed me what appeared to be an unwashed coffee cup. She asked me for a urine sample and pointed back outside to the latrine. And it occurred to me, I don't think this is a good place to be sick. This week I talk about my personal Peace Corps experience and getting medevaced out of the Kingdom of Tonga. Stick around. Hey, it's Christine Blackburn, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from my closet in Los Feliz, California. That's right, guys. Today is a closet confessional. I am so glad you tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story the other day from actress-singer Rena Strober, as she talks about watching a mob hit. Yeah, she watched a mob hit. She was singing in this Italian restaurant, and... well, you guys go back and listen for yourself. Now, on today's show, I'm going to share with you guys one of my own true personal stories, a closet confessional. Now, as you know, I bring these to you guys about once a month, and the response has been so kind. I mean, I've received so many really nice emails, so thank you guys so much. I'll definitely keep it up. And thanks for writing to me as well. You guys can always shoot me an email at info@storyworthypodcast.com. Now, today's show kind of goes along with my last closet confessional, that time I joined the Peace Corps. But this one is titled, That Time I Got Medevaced Out of the Peace Corps. So, you kind of know what's coming. Now, it's a pretty intense story, I have to say, and it is one that has really shaped my life. I mean, as I look back, the year I'm going to talk about right now, 1997, 20 years ago, this is the year that totally redefined everything I do. And I'm going to tell you guys about it right now. But listen, before I begin, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And why not head over to my website, storyworthypodcast.com, and join the mailing list. Yeah, you guys, I got a little mailing list. It's fun. I send you a short little email. You email me back. We have like a relationship. It's fun. All right, you guys, let me get right to the story. Now, if you want to learn more about me or you want to see me on a motorcycle naked... what? I rode a motorcycle naked, so what? You can head over to ChristineBlackburn.com. All right, here we go. After completing 8 weeks of Peace Corps training, there was a graduation ceremony and a huge feast for the 26 of us who completed the program. The event was held at the Peace Corps Lodge on the main island of Nuku'alofa, Tonga. We were each given a certificate and the official title of Peace Corps Volunteer. We drank kava and ate the standard Tongan feast of fish, breadfruit, roasted pig, watermelon, papaya, and coconut. Then we were each informed where we would be spending the next 2 years. Now, I got my first choice of placement, teaching English to high school kids on the main island of Nuku'alofa. The 8 weeks I spent on the outer island of Otea, shitting outside a cockroach-infested latrine, was extreme enough to fulfill my survivor-type experience for the next 2 years, and as it turns out, for life. Call me Miss Fancy Pants, but I wanted electricity. I wanted flush toilets. I craved more of a town feeling than a village feeling. I wanted roads and stores and people. The capital of Tonga, Nuku'alofa, was as cosmopolitan as it was going to get. After all, Nuku'alofa had the Paradise Hotel, which boasted ceiling fans in each room, and a swimming pool where people actually wore bathing suits. Most Tongan women swam in tupenos, a long skirt that covered their knees. Men wore tupenos too. In fact, no one wore pants in Tonga. There were no pants in the kingdom. There was no fresh milk either, because there were no cows. Strangely, the house I was supposed to move into burned down the night before I was to move in, so I was placed with another homestay family while the Peace Corps looked for new housing. I was truly loving my Peace Corps experience. The Tongans were so appreciative, and they made me feel like a celebrity. During training, if I was away from the village for a day, the villagers would be on the beach when I got back, waiting for me, clapping. I felt like a rock star. My first homestay family, they put my picture on the wall right next to the king, and they hung garland around it. They held many feasts on my behalf, which I have to say is pretty nice. Surprisingly, even though I was living with so few material goods, it was a very easy life. I had no phone, no car. Well, there were no phones or cars. No keys, no bank account, and no makeup. I loved it. It was a simple but interesting experience for sure, and I was glad I made the decision to dedicate 2 years of my life to the Peace Corps. But you know how sometimes in life, things can change on a dime? Well, that's what happened to me. One night, I woke up sweating and feverish, with a terrible pain in my lower back. Instinctively, I knew something was very, very wrong. I was delirious. I called out to Magalete, my homestay mom. She came in my room and quickly assessed me, and then left the room and returned with cool wet rags for my head. She began chanting, "Pelangi puke, devulawi ulu, pelangi puke, devulawi ulu," which means, "The white person is sick, the devil's in your stomach." Now, I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I had pretty much ruled out that the devil was in my stomach. The next day, I still had the fever. I got a ride into town, and after seeing the Peace Corps nurse, I was sent to Vaiola Hospital. Now, Vaiola Hospital was recently remodeled in 2007, but in 1996, it resembled a small wooden motel with 15 rooms off the breezeway. Let me just say, it did not look like a hospital. When we pulled up to the hospital curb in the Peace Corps van, we saw no one. And then, as I got out of the van, I saw three or four young girls, nurses, coming toward us. They ushered me into a little examination room, and one of the girls handed me what appeared to be an unwashed coffee cup. She asked me for a urine sample and pointed back outside to the latrine. I walked outside, glancing down at the cup, and it occurred to me, I don't think this is a good place to be sick. In the latrine, there was simply a hole. No toilet paper, no paper towels, no sink, no water, just a hole. Now, the good news was I didn't see any cockroaches, and that put this latrine a step above the latrine on Otea. When I returned to the examining room, I met the doctor, who was wearing a T-shirt and traditional tupeno. He seemed kind enough, and in broken English, he told me to call him George. Now, I'd been told he was educated in New Zealand, and he was, in fact, a doctor. He had me lie down on a small cot with dirty sheets, and then he had me pull my shirt up a bit. He pushed on my abdomen, and then he stopped. "What is it?" he asked. "I'm sorry, what?" I said. "What is it?" he asked again, pointing to my stomach. "Oh, those are just freckles," I replied. And then, "Does this disease run in your family?" I panicked. "Whoa, George, look at the time. I have to go." "Kristina, wait. I bring in other doctor," he said. As it turned out, there was another doctor at Vaiola Hospital, and this one was wearing the traditional tupeno with a collared shirt, but he was barefoot. He looked like the van driver. Without speaking, he examined me again, more thoroughly than George, I'll say that. He did not appear to be worried about the freckles, but after pushing on my lower abdomen repeatedly, the van driver-looking doctor proclaims, "I take out your appendix tomorrow." "Excuse me, George, and new doctor guy not wearing shoes. You guys don't have any running water here. I have to go," I scream. Reluctantly, they gave me a Tylenol, and I leave the hospital. A few days pass, and soon it's New Year's Eve. Being near the international dateline had its perks. The Kingdom of Tonga rings in the new year before any other country in the world. Feeling much better, I toast a royal beer to the Southern Cross with my new friends. Happy New Year 1997. Little did I know the turn my life was about to take. A few days later, with my fever on and off, the Peace Corps decides to medevac me to Hawaii for more tests. Sounds reasonable, right? I mean, I'll just jet off to the States for a few days, pick up a prescription for some antibiotic or something simple like that, then I'll buy a bunch of candy for the other volunteers, and then I'll be back on my rockstar island to begin my real Peace Corps service in no time. But at Queens Medical Center in Honolulu, they have other plans for me. They do some blood tests, and they give me a CAT scan. And it turns out, it isn't a crazy freckle disease, and it isn't an appendicitis. But what it is a hard mass tumor in my kidney, the size of a golf ball, most likely malignant. Oh, that's all. The doctor explains to me how sick I am as I lay there on the CT machine. Over the next few minutes, I went through all the emotions you hear about. Shock, surprise, anger, denial, and disbelief. Mostly disbelief. How can this be happening? What are you talking about? I am healthy. I run every day. Now, I am supposed to be in the middle of the South Pacific helping kids learn English, drinking kava, and having people toast me. I mean, they're probably down there right now looking at my picture framed in garland. After receiving this bizarre diagnosis, the Peace Corps gives me the option to get treatment in Honolulu or to go to Washington, D.C. I chose D.C. to be closer to my family. The day I stepped off the plane in our nation's capital was January 7th, my 31st birthday. I was wearing a tepeño, a thin t-shirt, and flip-flops, and it was 15 degrees outside. I was carrying a massive folder containing my CT film images. My mom and sister stood waiting for me at the end of the jetway, holding my winter coat. "Here, honey, here's your coat. Put your coat on, honey," my mom coaxed. I refused it. I was so angry. I didn't want the coat. I didn't want to be there. I wasn't supposed to be there. We drove straight to Georgetown Hospital to meet with the head of the urology department. Well, that is, after getting extremely lost and ending up at George Washington Hospital. Wrong George Hospital. Finally, we meet with Dr. John Lynch at Georgetown Hospital. He studies the CT images and agrees that my kidney needs to come out immediately. 2 days later, he performs a radical nephrectomy and removes my right kidney and the surrounding lymph nodes. When I wake up, I'm told the surgery is a success. The cancer was contained in the kidney, and Dr. Lynch made a scooping motion with his hands as he described lifting the organ with the bulging tumor out of my body. He was into it, I could tell, because it turns out I had an extremely rare type of cancer called an adult Wilms tumor, generally found in children under the age of 2. I asked if I could see the kidney, and he said no. It was already cut up, dissected, and being analyzed in the lab. Too bad. That would have been cool. Recovery was slow going at first, the 8-inch incision starting at my sternum and continuing south down my stomach toward my right hip was deep and cut into many layers of muscle. It didn't look as gruesome as I had imagined, but still, there were dozens of those little butterfly steri strips that would take months to fully come off. The first few days after surgery, clicking my Demerol pump as often as allowed, I found it hard to believe that I would ever stand up again, let alone walk. But sure enough, after a week in the hospital with many friends and family around for support, I was discharged and found myself living in a 3-bedroom Peace Corps apartment building. My roommates were from the countries of St. Lucia and Turkmenistan. St. Lucia had a yeast infection, and Turkmenistan was having unexplained headaches. There were at least 50 other medevaced volunteers staying in the building from all over the world. Upon meeting many of them with various non-life-threatening ailments, I determined quickly that mine was the most legitimate, although trust me when I tell you, this was not a race, and even if it were, I did not want to be in the lead. I spent a lot of time with the other volunteers, chatting, gossiping, and doing what PCVs do best, hanging out. After a month in D.C., including the week at Georgetown University Hospital, I met with an oncologist who told me that I would need 5 months of adjuvant chemotherapy. This made no sense to me. The kidney was gone. The cancer was removed. but he explained to me that a billion cancer cells can fit on your pinky fingernail, and if any of those cells got out of the kidney and started traveling throughout my body, well, the cancer could reoccur anywhere. Adjuvant chemotherapy wipes out that possibility. This was a blow I didn't expect. I honestly thought that I would be returning to Tonga. I thought this little cancer thing was behind me, and I would continue on with my Peace Corps experience. But I couldn't have been more wrong. So let's recap. Not only was I no longer on an island in the South Pacific feeling like a rock star, I was now out of the Peace Corps, diagnosed with cancer, and on my way back to Pittsburgh for chemotherapies. In February, no less. Smell of hospitals in winter, and the feeling that it's all a lot of oysters, but no pearls. Now, I know a lot of you guys are out there wondering, well, then what? What happened next? How did you get through chemotherapy? Well, I'm here, you guys, so yeah, I survived. That's the good news. But man, it was not easy, and I know a lot of you out there are also cancer survivors, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. It just changes your perspective on everything. Am I right? I'll tell you. I mean, 1997 was really a challenging year for me, and I have one more closet confessional about this experience that I'll put out next month. I mean, what can I tell you guys? When you go to the Peace Corps and then you get diagnosed with cancer, well, you have more than one story. All right, I want to thank you guys so much for listening. Telling my own personal stories is really a thrill for me. I mean, I enjoy writing them. I enjoy performing them. Editing, not so much. But what are you going to do? Okay, guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you again so much for tuning into my fifth closet confessional. Go back and listen to the other four as well, and let me know what you think. Tweet me at Storyworthy. And again, feel free to email me at info@storyworthypodcast.com. And if you're really feeling kind, which I know you are, get over to iTunes and leave Storyworthy a good review. I always need these. Come on, if you're a cancer survivor, do this for me, another cancer survivor. Give me 5 stars and a good review. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a hilarious story from comedian Jen Kober about living out in the country.
I mean, like, you had to drive down a 15-mile country road to get to the country road that took you out to where we were.
Don't miss the incredibly talented Jen Kober next week on Storyworthy. Now, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer, but especially a big thanks to you guys, my Storyworthy audience. By tuning in every week, you are the ones that make this happen. So on behalf of all of you, thank you so much for listening. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.